Good morning. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Aiden Joy. I'm one of the elders here at the Baptist Church. Friday morning, I got a call as I was delivering mail, and pastors told me or asked me if I could preach this Sunday. And after I almost drove off the road, I said, absolutely, no problem. I was reminded of what Paul writes in Scripture in the New Testament, that we must always be ready to give a defense of our hope, whether in season or out of season. And so, yes, it was somewhat of a shock, but I also know as an elder this is part of my duty or requirement to be an elder, is to be able to teach. And so for that, I am thankful that that I've been given this opportunity to preach today. And we will be focusing on the five solas of the Reformation. As you saw from the bulletin, for those who are in attendance, that his message was going to be on the gospel that we recovered at the Reformation. I've changed that a little bit. We're going to look at the five solas of the Reformation, that we are justified, made righteous solely on the basis of Scripture, grace, faith, Christ, and for the glory of God. And although we will look at various verses of Scripture, we will begin today in Romans 3, beginning at verse 9 through verse 18, we will see why we need to be justified to be made righteous. Romans 3, beginning in verse 9. What then? Are we Jews any better off? No, not at all. For we have already charged that all, both Jews and Greeks, are under sin, as it is written. None is righteous, no, not one. No one understands, no one seeks for God. All have turned aside, together they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one. Their throat is an open grave. They use their tongues to deceive. The venom of asps is under their lips. Their mouth is full of curses and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. In their paths are ruin and misery, and the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Here Paul states that all are sinners, both Jews and Greeks, and we as Gentiles fit in that group. We are what would be considered the Greeks. So Paul covers everybody. All people are sinners. None of us are righteous. None of us seek God. No one does good. We are all unregenerate with depraved hearts. We are deceiving and cursing others with our words. We tend toward conflict and strife, not toward peace. And last but not least, we do not fear God. We have no fear of our Creator, who gives us life and who can take our lives in a moment and condemn us to eternal torment. In verse 19 of Romans 3, Paul declares that all are under the law. He says, now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped and the whole world may be held accountable to God. Paul's point here is that all are under the law, all are accountable to God because we have all broken the law. Having shown that all are sinners and able to keep the law and accountable to God, Paul shows us in verse 20 how we are not justified, how we are not made righteous. He writes, for by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes a knowledge of sin. The law cannot justify us or save us. It can only reveal to us that we are sinful people and have broken God's law. In Romans 3:22 and 23, Paul states, for there is no distinction, For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And as Galatians 3:10 tells us, we are under a curse for not keeping the law. Paul writes in Galatians 3, for all who rely on the works of the law are under a curse. For it is written, cursed be everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law and do them. Prior to the Reformation, the teaching of the Roman Catholic Church was based on salvation by works, justification by works, keeping the law, or keeping the many rules that the Roman Catholic Church had come up with. With the Reformation, which was begun years earlier by John Huss and carried on by Martin Luther and others, this teaching of justification by works is clearly seen as being contrary to God's plan of salvation. The foundation of the Reformation is found in the five solas, that we are justified by preaching of the Scriptures alone, by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, for the glory of God alone. And if I had remained in my aunt's Latin class in high school, I could say these Latin words correctly, but I was being obstinate and I dropped out. So I might be regretting that today, but so forgive me if I mess up these Latin words, having not taken Latin when I should have. But let us consider the first sola, sola scriptura. Through scripture alone are we justified or made righteous. It is through scripture that we have a right standing before God. Paul in Romans 10:14 asks, and how are they to believe in whom of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? He answers this question then in verse 17. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. And there the word of Christ refers to the gospel message about Christ, who he is, and what he has accomplished on behalf of the believer. Only scripture is inspired by God, as Paul writes in 2 Timothy 3:16. He writes, all scripture is breathed out by God, meaning is inspired by God, and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. And only scripture is inerrant and infallible. Only through the preaching and teaching of God's word can one come to salvation and be justified. And not only is the preaching and teaching of scripture vital to our justification, it is also vital to our sanctification. Psalm 119, verses 9 through 11, tells us how to keep our way pure. We read, how can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart I seek you, let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. In verse 105 of Psalm 119, the psalmist declares scripture to be this: your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Peter in 2 Peter 1:3 states that God through scripture has given the believer all that is necessary for life and godliness. Peter writes, his divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence. God's word alone is sufficient as our source of justification and sanctification. This is contrary to the teaching of the Roman Catholic Church, which said that the popes and the rituals and the rites that they had come up with were on par with Scripture. Those things were not inspired by God, so they in no way could be on par with Scripture. God's word alone is sufficient. It is inerrant and infallible. And it is the only way that God has revealed himself to us. It is in his word. Considering the second sola, sola gratia, solely on the basis of God's grace are we saved or justified. Here we look to Paul's letter to the Ephesians. Ephesians 1:7 says, in him, Christ, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. Ephesians 2, 5 and 8 say, by grace you have been saved. And then also back in Romans 3, 24, all who believe in Christ are justified by his grace as a gift. God's grace is a gift to the repentant sinner who believes, apart from any work or merit, to bring about their justification. There is nothing we can do. There is no merit that is found within ourselves that can make us be approved by God, to be made righteous in his eyes. In Titus 2:11, Paul shows us the vastness of God's grace found in Christ. Paul writes, for the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people. And there the phrase, the grace of God, is referring to Christ. In Christ is the embodiment of God's grace. And that brings salvation for all people. God's grace is more than sufficient to bring salvation to all who repent and believe. Looking at the third sola, which is sole fide, solely on the basis of faith in God's saving grace applied to the repentant sinner. Returning to a well-known passage, Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9, which says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. Salvation cannot be earned. It is a gift of both grace and faith. We are saved, justified by God's gift of grace and faith. And as we just read, this saving faith is not our own doing. We cannot generate this saving faith because we are dead in our trespasses and sins, as Ephesians 2:1 tells us. Faith is placing one's trust in and dependence on God that he will faithfully keep his promises. In Romans 1:17, Paul says, the righteous shall live by faith. And in Romans 3:22, he says that those who believe receive the righteousness of God, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. We are justified, made righteous solely by grace through faith upon hearing Scripture preached to us. There simply is no other way to be justified, to have a right standing in God's eyes. We look at the fourth sola, which is solus Christus, and it focuses on the object of our faith, solely on Jesus Christ and his finished work of atonement on the cross. Christ alone is our Savior, our Redeemer, and our Mediator. Returning to Romans 3, 24 and 25, which tells us that we are justified by grace as a gift to the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. Here we see that Christ's perfect once-for-all sacrifice paid the penalty for our sin to redeem us from sin's bondage, and as Colossians 1:13 says, to deliver us from darkness. Paul writes there in Colossians, he has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. We are no longer, as believers, in the kingdom of darkness, in Satan's kingdom. We are now citizens in God's kingdom, kingdom of Christ, in the kingdom of light. We see that Christ's death on the cross appeased God's wrath. He was our propitiation, which means appeasement. Here, Christ's sacrifice, his sacrificial death, satisfied God's wrath and our judgment because of our sinfulness. Christ willingly went to the cross. He died in our place. He bore our sin, and in return we give his righteousness. Christ alone is our Redeemer. He does not share this position with Mary, nor does he share his position as mediator with her. As Paul states in 1 Timothy 2, 5, and 6, "For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all." As I said, Christ willingly went to the cross. He was not forced to. As Galatians 1, 4 says, "Christ gave himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age according to the will of our God and Father." It was God's will that Christ should die in our place, thus reconciling us to himself through Christ. I believe that 2 Corinthians 5:21 summarizes our justification in Christ. Paul writes there, "For our sake he, God, made him, who is Christ, to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him, Christ, we might become the righteousness of God." God made Christ to be sin, the noun. Not that he had ever sinned, but he bore our sin on the cross so that we would receive, in return, the righteousness of Christ. The righteousness of Christ makes us right before God. It is imputed to our account, and that is the great exchange, so to speak. God's judgment for our sin is placed on Christ, and Christ's righteousness is imputed to our account, which in turn allows God to retain his justice while at the same time justifying or make righteous the one who believes in Christ. And we read that in Romans 3:26. Paul writes, "To show his righteousness at the present time so that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus." Christ is also our high priest, as we see in Hebrews 4, 14, and 15. The writer of Hebrews says, "Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin." Christ as our high priest intercedes for us at the throne of grace. He is our advocate before God the Father. And in his perfect once-for-all sacrifice, our sins are forgiven and we are cleansed from all unrighteousness. Through Christ's sacrifice, his dying on the cross, we are forgiven and we are cleansed of all unrighteousness. It became unnecessary for someone to go to a priest, as the Roman Catholic Church teaches, to have your sins forgiven. Because God alone can forgive sin. Even the Jews knew that in the New Testament. That's why they were confronting Christ all the time, because he was saying that, telling people who he healed, that he had forgiven them of their sin. And the Jews even know that only God can forgive sin. So the teaching of the Roman Catholic Church is wrong there, in that you go to the priest to be forgiven of your sin. Because the priest, the Pope, is only a man. And in the Old Testament, even the high priest had to offer sacrifices for his own sin before he could offer sacrifices for the people. But in Christ's case, that is not necessary, because he is sinless. He doesn't have to offer a sacrifice for himself. He is the perfect sacrifice. As John writes, he is the Lamb of God. John the Baptist, when he saw Christ coming, declared, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." So we've seen up to this point how we are truly justified, made righteous. That is, from hearing the word of God preached, that is, by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. In the fifth sola, Soli Deo Gloria, we see why we are justified or made righteous in this way. It is for God's glory alone. All that God has created that exists is intended for one purpose, to bring glory to God. Ephesians 1, 5, and 6 states this, "In love he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. Also, first verses 12 through 14, so that we who were first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it, to the praise of his glory. God's glory is the purpose of redemption, his justification of sinners. All that he does is for his glory. When he brings someone to salvation, it is to bring glory to himself. And God will not share his glory, as we see in Isaiah 48:11. Isaiah writes, "My glory I will not give to another." So if we were to believe what the Roman Catholic Church teaches, that we are justified by keeping the rituals, the rites, doing the works, if we were justified by our works, then God would not receive the glory, we would. But as we have looked at today, we see that we are justified, made righteous, solely on the basis of hearing the preaching of Scripture by grace through faith in Christ, so that God alone is glorified. He alone receives the glory and praise. And as I just read from Isaiah, he will not give his glory to another. In conclusion, seeming this has gone really fast, in conclusion, we will look at two passages written by the Apostle Paul to help us remember what we have studied this morning. They are Romans 3:23-26, "For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified by his grace as a gift, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance he has passed over former sins. It was to show his righteousness at the present time, so that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus." And the second passage is Galatians 2:16. "Yet we know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. So we also have believed in Christ Jesus in order to be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law. Because by the works of the law, no one will be justified." God's justification of the sinner is based solely on the hearing the gospel message proclaimed from Scripture, by receiving God's gift of grace through his gift of faith in Christ's atoning death on the cross, which brings glory to God alone. There is no other way to be justified, to be made righteous. My plea to you today, if you are not sure of your salvation, be reconciled to God, confess and repent of your sins, forsake them, turn to God for forgiveness and cleansing. And then in belief in Christ Jesus, place your trust in Christ's finished work on the cross and live as a new creation, daily growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If you are not sure, you think you might be, but you're not sure, don't trust in your works, the things that you think you do that will make you right before God. In Isaiah, we read that our good works are as filthy rags in God's eyes. And the idea there is of filthy, bloody rags. Our self-righteousness is, in God's eyes, is an abomination. It's only the righteousness of Christ that can make us justified or with a right standing before God. So I just ask that you would think about these and remember these five solas, that we are saved or justified through hearing Scripture preached, by grace through faith in Christ alone. And all of this is carried out to the glory of God alone. So let's close in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the opportunity to look at it, to remember that you are so gracious to us, so loving to us. Father, I thank you that you have justified us through Christ, through Scripture, through grace, and through faith. And I pray that in all things you would receive the glory. Again, Father, I thank you for this time, and I pray that we would apply what we learned here this morning to our lives so that we'd be pleasing to you. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.